Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, so you've sent us some really powerful sources on a topic that's, well, very much in the conversation right now, narcissistic abuse.
Yeah, especially with some of the high-profile things in the news lately.
Exactly. So we're going to unpack this. This deep dive, we'll try to get a really clear sense of what narcissistic abuse is, how it shows up.
The different tactics.
Right, the tactics, the manipulation, and the very real impact it has on people, and importantly, what healing can look like.
And we have to touch on the recent allegations involving Sean Diddy Combs. It's kind of a case study playing out in public.
It really is. So our mission here is to bring some clarity, some understanding to this type of abuse, which is often, well, misunderstood, give you insights into how it works and the path to recovery.
It's definitely timely. And the sources you shared, they lay out the core ideas well and connect them to, what people might be seeing.
Okay, so where do we start defining it?
Yeah, let's start there. Narcissistic abuse. It's not just someone being like super self-absorbed. It's more than that. It's a pattern.
A pattern of mistreatment.
Exactly. Emotional, psychological mistreatment. And often what's driving it is this deep need for validation, this excessive self-focus, and critically, a real lack of empathy. They just don't seem to grasp or maybe care how others feel.
Right. And the sources really highlight some key manipulative tactics. One that jumped out at me was making you doubt your own memory, your perceptions. Yeah,
Gaslighting.
that's one. Gaslighting. It sounds incredibly confusing for the person experiencing it. Like their reality is just being denied.
It is. It's a core tactic. And then you have things like constant belittlement, criticism.
Just chipping away at your self-worth.
Precisely. It's
Yeah.
all about undermining confidence, making someone feel small, easier to control.
And that lack of empathy you mentioned, that seems central.
It really is. If you can't genuinely understand or share someone else's feelings, well, it makes it much easier to prioritize your own needs, your own desires, often trampling over others without much thought for the consequences.
Okay. And the material you sent also breaks down like different ways this abuse can look. It's not always shouting and obvious anger, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
That's a really important point. There's what the sources call covert abuse.
Covert. So hidden.
Kind of, it's more subtle. Things like passive aggression, the silent treatment, emotional withdrawal.
Ugh, the silent treatment, that can be awful.
It's incredibly powerful. It's this sort of constant low-level negativity that just grinds you down. And it's confusing because it's not direct aggression.
Makes you question if you're imagining it, maybe.
Exactly. Lots of room for self-doubt. Am I being too sensitive? That kind of thing. Then, of course, there's the overt abuse.
Which is more direct.
Yeah, more obvious. The yelling, the public humiliation, direct threats or manipulation, kind of what people might traditionally picture when they think of abuse. And it's crucial to remember, as the sources point out, this isn't just in romantic relationships.
Right. Families, work.
Yep. Anywhere there's a power dynamic that can be exploited to control or belittle someone.
Which brings us to the impact. And this is, well, it's heavy stuff. The sources really detail the psychological effects.
They do, and there's significant immediate effects like really high anxiety, feeling worthless, just chronic stress,
Yeah.
fear even.
It paints a really bleak picture of the emotional toll.
And it's not just in your head, so to speak. The sources mention physical symptoms too.
Like what?
Trouble sleeping is a big one, constant fatigue. The body keeps the score, as they say. Prolonged emotional stress manifests physically.
And depression, that comes up too.
Yeah, serious depressive episodes can develop. It affects everything, work, relationships, just daily functioning. And it doesn't just, disappear when the relationship ends.
It lasts.
Oh, yeah. The sources are clear. These impacts can linger long term. And for many, it can lead to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
PTSD from emotional abuse.
Absolutely. Think about it. Intrusive memories, maybe flashbacks, always feeling jumpy,
Most of
hypervigilant.
that relax.
Exactly. Your nervous system is basically stuck in threat mode,
Yeah.
and that makes it incredibly hard to trust people again, to form healthy connections,
Yeah.
which can lead to isolation.
Feeling alone with it all.
And then there's the shame, the self-blame.
That seems so cruel. The abuser causes the pain, but the victim blames themselves.
It's a common and really painful part of it. Often the abuser has spent so long telling them it's their fault, they start to believe it. It's part of the manipulation.
And because it can be so subtle sometimes, like that covert stuff.
Right. It makes it hard to even recognize as abuse. That self-doubt we talked about, the gaslighting it makes you question your own reality. Maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe I am the problem.
Justifying the behavior somehow.
It could be a coping mechanism, yeah. Which is why, as the source is really stressed, getting validation from outside is so important.
Someone saying, no, that wasn't okay. What you experienced was real.
Exactly. Friends, family, a therapist. Yeah. Hearing that could be the first step towards acknowledging the abuse and starting to heal.
Okay, so healing. If someone recognizes these patterns, what does that journey look like? The sources offer some hope there.
They do. And it's so important to frame it as a journey. It takes time, patience, real commitment to yourself.
What's the first step, usually?
Often, it's seeking professional help. Finding a therapist who understands trauma and emotional abuse.
How does therapy help, specifically?
Well, it provides a safe space to process what happened, to understand the dynamics, develop coping strategies, and ultimately to start reclaiming your sense of self, the one that got eroded by the abuse.
That makes sense. And support groups. The sources mention those too.
Hugely valuable. Connecting with others who get it. There's immense power in that. It breaks the isolation.
Shared understanding, validation.
Right. A place to share experiences without judgment, talk about the challenges, even celebrate small wins. It builds community.
And boundaries come up a lot. Learning to set boundaries.
Crucial. Absolutely crucial. After being in a relationship where boundaries were constantly violated, learning to assert your needs, to say no, to not tolerate disrespect. It's fundamental.
It's like practicing self-advocacy.
It is.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing your own worth again. Mm. And tied into that is developing self-compassion.
Being kind to yourself.
Yes. Countering all that negative self-talk that the abuse likely ingrained. Learning to treat yourself with the kindness you deserved all along.
Self-care activities too, right? Looking after yourself physically, emotionally.
Definitely. Things that reinforce your value and well-being. And personal development can be really helpful too.
How so?
Engaging in new hobbies. Maybe education, volunteering. Mm-hmm. Things that help rebuild your identity outside of that abusive dynamic. Fostering resilience.
And there are resources like books and online communities.
Yeah, lots of good books, websites, forums focused on recovery. They offer ongoing support, tools, and just knowing you're not alone.
Okay, now, we need to talk about the Sean Diddy Combs allegations. It's impossible to ignore in this context. The sources frame this as a very public example.
Yes, a very high-profile and disturbing example of the dynamics we've been discussing. The lawsuit described alleges behavior consistent with narcissistic abuse.
Emotional, psychological manipulation.
Exactly. Things like alleged gaslighting, isolation, that emotional volatility. These are patterns described by many survivors.
And the sources connect these alleged actions to those traits we talked about, the grandiosity, the lack of empathy.
Right. It takes these concepts out of the abstract and puts them into a very real and, frankly, very public context. When you hear allegations of specific controlling behaviors, it really echoes the tactics described in the sources.
It really does. And the media's role here is huge, isn't it, in shaping perception?
It is. These cases can either, you know, reinforce stereotypes or hopefully push towards a better, more nuanced public understanding of what emotional and psychological abuse actually entails.
This case, whatever the legal outcome, could spark wider conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
About how prevalent these behaviors might be, maybe especially among those with significant power and influence, it forces a kind of societal reflection. You see the alleged tactics, like the isolation or control, and you connect it back to what we know about narcissistic abuse patterns.
And the sources emphasize believing survivors, supporting their claims.
That's critical. Holding people accountable, regardless of their status, sends a powerful message. It challenges the idea that this behavior is acceptable or should be hidden. It encourages dialogue.
Creates more support for those affected, hopefully.
That's the goal. This public examination, difficult as it is, highlights the urgent need for these conversations to continue. We need more awareness, more understanding, more support systems, knowing the signs, understanding the tactics that leads to recognizing the impact.
Okay, so wrapping this up, this deep dive, using the material you sent, really highlights that narcissistic abuse is this damaging pattern, serious psychological harm.
For sure. But the flip side is understanding it, the dynamics, the forms it takes, and knowing that support and healing are possible. That's vital.
Absolutely. And this recent high-profile case is just a stark reminder of the potential impact and why we need to keep talking about this.
Definitely. And that brings us to a final thought for you, the listener. Thinking about everything we've discussed, maybe reflect on the more subtle ways manipulation can show up in different kinds of relationships, perhaps ones you observe or are even part of.
What steps could maybe be taken? to foster healthier interactions or to support someone you think might be experiencing this.
Yeah, something to consider. And we really encourage you to look into some of the resources out there about narcissistic abuse and recovery if this is something that resonates with you.